This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by the Audio Journal. Thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. Hi, hello, and welcome. My name is Adam, and if you're looking for something to do this weekend, well, you've come to the right place. Over the next hour, we'll be making our way through a myriad of things, a plethora of options, a gaggle of possibilities, all of which you can do this weekend, right here in Worcester County. So grab a seat, get comfy, and get ready, because this is Weekend Update. Wheel-hearted lovers, a baying of faraway watching dogs, a dreaming of brown-fisted farmers, a gleaming of fireflies eddying nigh. And that is July. That was written by James Newton Matthews, an American doctor and poet. He was born on May 27, 1852, near Mason, Illinois. He was the first student to enroll at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, when it opened in 1868. While he was there, he studied literature and medicine, and he graduated with honors in 1872. After graduation, James worked as a country doctor while also pursuing his passion for poetry. He published multiple volumes of poetry, becoming well known for his evocative descriptions of rural life and the landscapes of the Midwest. He became so well known, in fact, that people started calling him the Poet of the Prairie. His most notable work includes the poem The Old Country Road, which reflects on the nostalgia and simplicity of country life. Sadly, it was the old country road that would claim his life. On March 7, 1910, after walking over 5 miles through a snowstorm to treat a patient, James suffered a heart attack that he would not survive. His final poem, Lute of Life, was published posthumously in 1911. In it, James follows the style of Midwestern poet James Whitcomb Riley in his prose. The two James were very good friends. Of note, James Riley was the Indiana author and writer of the Riley Reader, a competitor to the famous McCuffey Reader, that found its way into every one-room schoolhouse in America. James Matthews was also reportedly very good friends with another more famous author, one you might recognize, Mark Twain. There is even a picture of the two at the Wishing Well in downtown Mason, Illinois. Now, the house that James grew up in Mason, it eventually fell into disrepair and it was subsequently torn down. Today, a scholarship in James Matthews' name exists at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, honoring his legacy. I thought that was a fitting poem for the month of July and everything it has to offer. I thought it summed it up quite nicely, fireflies included. Those are always my favorite part of the summer, though I have yet to spot one this year. I'm not sure what's going on with the firefly population, but hopefully they'll make an appearance soon, because I really do enjoy them lighting up the sky in the early evening of a beautiful summer night. Today, though, we are not looking for fireflies. We are busting myths. Specifically, these are things that you may have been taught in school or that you thought you knew, but that may have been shown to be false. And we've got a good one to start with. Dinosaurs are extinct. Many people think dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago. Jurassic Park told us they did, right? But Jurassic Park got it wrong. Dinosaurs are still around today, albeit in a little bit of a different form. And you can find them right in your very own backyard. Blue jays, pigeons, hummingbirds, and seagulls all have dinosaur genes, making them every bit as much of a dinosaur as T-Rex himself. Now, here's another myth about dinosaurs. They look like big lizards. Well, that's partially true and partially not. Lizards are descendants from dinosaurs. But today, we know the dinosaurs had fluffy, colorful feathers. I saw these on display in a museum out in Bozeman, Montana, which has the largest collection of Triceratops skulls and bones in the world. And that's because a lot of them were found right there in Montana. The dinosaurs that were on display had feathers of all shapes and sizes, colorful plumage, and some even had mohawks of feathers on their heads. As bizarre as that sounds, it's very, very true. It was really amazing to see because until then, I had no idea dinosaurs looked like this. I've always seen dinosaurs in books looking like big, towering lizards. Turns out, they have feathers. Now, while they do indeed have feathers, they do not fly. Remember, if it flies, it's not a dinosaur. Dinosaurs do not fly. Here's another myth about dinosaurs. What about a brontosaurus? Is a brontosaurus considered a dinosaur? Well, the answer is yes and no and yes. Why is this the case? Well, as it turns out, it was a labeling mistake that somebody made, and that somebody was paleontologist Othniel Charles Marsh. He named the first fossil of the Brontosaurus in 1879. 2 years later, he described a similar specimen, and he called it this time an Apatosaurus. In 1903, researchers decided that the Brontosaurus fossil was actually that of an Apatosaurus that was mislabeled as a Brontosaurus. After that, they were all officially called Apatosaurus. But wait, there's more. Sound like an infomercial all of a sudden, don't I? A new study done in 2015 showed that the two fossils are different enough to warrant separate names. So Brontosaurus is officially back as a dinosaur. Moving on from dinosaurs to our nation's very first president, George Washington, did he have wooden teeth? While it is true that George did have terrible teeth, they were so bad, in fact, that by the time he gave his first inaugural address in 1789, he had only one remaining natural tooth. Now, because of his bad teeth, he did wear dentures. That is true, but those dentures were never made out of wood. Instead, they were complicated contraptions made from ivory, gold, and lead. People thought they were wood because of the stains on the ivory. His dentures also contained real teeth, probably from cows and horses, and most definitely from people. He saved some of his own teeth that had been pulled and purchased at least 9 teeth from slaves on his plantation, Mount Vernon. One pair of his dentures are now on display in the museum in Mount Vernon. Sadly, when I visited several years ago, they were being refurbished, so I did not get a chance to see them. Another pair is on display at the Baltimore Dental Museum in Baltimore, Maryland. Turning next to something a little bit closer to home, were women burned at the stake because they were suspected of being witches? This is a big, emphatic no, absolutely not. Nobody was burned during the Massachusetts Bay Colony witch scare in 1692. Imprisoned and executed, oh yes, most definitely, but burned? Absolutely not. Almost 200 people were accused of being witches, with 19 being convicted and hanged. One person was crushed to death under stones, while another was pressed to death. And get this, 5 of those executed were actually men. They believed that men could be witches too. Of course, we now know that the whole witch thing was completely made up. There were no such thing as witches back then, but they didn't know that. We do know that now. Our next two myths on our list take us to outer space. Here's a good question. How many planets do we have in our solar system? The answer is either 8 or 13, depending on how technical you want to get. I'm sure you were taught that we have 9 planets: Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. But in the 1990s, scientists found a donut-shaped region of the solar system out beyond Neptune that's filled with asteroids, comets, and icy objects. They called it the Kuiper Belt and decided that Pluto was in fact part of that belt and it was not a planet as we previously knew it. So, they reclassified it. Pluto was, in fact, not the first planet to get demoted. It had already happened to a body called Ceres that orbits between Mars and Jupiter. Ceres was called a planet, too, when it was first identified in 1801. But then, over the years, astronomers realized that it was part of an asteroid belt and revoked its planethood. But wait, there's more. In 2006, Ceres and Pluto got bumped back up into a brand new category when the International Astronomical Union declared them dwarf planets. So how many planets do we actually have? Well, as it turns out, nobody really knows. Scientists and astronomers believe there could be hundreds of planets that haven't even been identified yet. And then there's the mystery of Planet X. So far, it's only a hypothetical planet, but researchers at Caltech think it could be the size of Neptune and follow an orbit that's circling the Sun way out behind Pluto. So the final tally as of now, according to NASA, is 8 planets and 5 dwarf planets. Our next myth takes us inside the human body. What color is your blood? Now, you might think it's blue because when you look at your veins, they do in fact look blue. But the blood in your veins is actually red. The misconception comes from anatomical drawings that show the path that oxygen-rich blood takes from the heart and oxygen-depleted blood, usually shown in blue, takes in return to the heart. And they just did that to make it easier to follow the loop. In fact, blood is red when it's full of oxygen, and it's still red, even when it has no oxygen. The reason it's red is the iron in our hemoglobin. A lot of people think that when you cut yourself and you start to bleed, your blood is having a reaction with the oxygen in the atmosphere, and that's what turns it red. But that's not the case. It's always red, regardless of where it's going, where it's coming from, or what it is carrying along with it. Now, there are animals who have different colors of blood. Horseshoe crabs and squid, they have blue blood. There are even other animals out there who have green blood, and some even have clear blood. So blood really does come in all different colors. Now, hold on to that thought about colors, because we're going to be talking about the rainbow in just a moment. Here's another myth for you. Napoleon Bonaparte was short. Well, he was short, but he wasn't as short as history leads us to believe. He came in at 5 feet 7 inches tall, which is actually taller than I am. I'm about 5 foot 5, on a good day, that is. So why do we think he was short? Well, you can blame the British and the French for that. When he died, the people present said he measured 5 feet 2 inches. However, the units of measurement in France and Britain at the time were different. And when the conversion was done, somebody did it wrong and came up with 5 feet 2 inches. So Napoleon was short, but he wasn't as short as we thought. Here's another myth about the human body. How many senses do you think we have? The big 5, touch, taste, smell, sight, and hearing, are our most basic senses. But there is a wealth of other mechanisms that allow us to take in information. Proprioception tells us where our bodies are in space, allowing us to stay balanced. This is the sense that allows us to walk down a flight of stairs in the dark without falling down them. Kinesthetic receptors detect stretching in muscles and tendons, which helps us keep track of our various body parts. That way we know where our arms and legs are at all times. We also have receptors to track how much oxygen is flowing through our arteries. And all this stuff happens without being totally conscious about it. We don't have to think about these things happening. They just do. It's amazing what the body can do. Now, we also have receptors on our tongue called taste buds. What our tongue doesn't have, though, is a taste map. Taste maps are the maps that were created by a German scientist in 1901 to show us where all of our different taste buds live on our tongues. Those taste buds allow us to taste things like sweet, salty, sour, bitter, and umami. That German scientist, however, got one very big thing wrong. He thought that all of our taste buds lived separately on different parts of our tongue. In fact, they actually live together all over your tongue. Did anyone ever tell you not to swallow your gum because it would take 7 years to digest? Well, this is completely wrong. There is nothing that we eat that would take 7 years to digest. Most things pass right through the digestive system relatively quickly. Some might take up to a week, but definitely nothing that's going to take 7 years. Here's another question about the human body. When you die, do your hair and fingernails continue to grow? The answer is no, they do not. The reason we used to think that hair and fingernails continue to grow after death is a misinterpretation of what happens to a corpse in the hours and days after a person dies. The skin dries out and retracts at the fingertips, making it look like the nails are getting longer. In fact, that's just the skin getting tighter. In men, our facial skin also gets dehydrated, and this can extend stubble and make it look like we grew a beard after we died. But we did not. Now, remember I told you to hold a thought about color? The colors of the rainbow, I'm sure you know the acronym Roy G. Biv, right? Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Did you know that Roy G. Biv is not the correct lineup of colors in the rainbow? It's not even the correct number of colors in the rainbow. Rainbow doesn't have seven colors. But that's what we were all taught in school, right? We all learned Roy G. Biv. The problem here is the color indigo. Indigo is made up of two other colors that are already in the rainbow, blue and purple, and it really doesn't belong or even exist in the rainbow. So why is it there, you might ask? Well, in a word, Sir Isaac Newton. He was a very, very superstitious man, and he believed that the number seven had a cosmic significance. Because of this, he believed that seven colors, no more, no less, had to come together to make white. Well, he knew of six colors that were already in the rainbow, but he needed a seventh. So he chose indigo, most likely because indigo dye was very popular at the time. Newton was now happy with his seven colors in the rainbow and all of his superstitions were fulfilled. He just didn't know that he was wrong. We'll finish our myth-busting today with two myths about Christopher Columbus. Christopher Columbus did not discover the Americas. Native Americans had been living on the North American continent for at least 15,000 years, so Columbus definitely was not the first one here. He wasn't even the first European here. Viking explorer Leif Erikson reached North America 500 years before Columbus did. Not only that, Columbus didn't even come to what is now the United States. He only ever explored the Bahamas, Hispaniola, and a bit of the Central and South American coastlines, never realizing that there was a whole other continent to the north. Columbus also didn't prove that the earth was round. People already knew this for centuries before Columbus even set off on his journey. During the Middle Ages, some Europeans did start believing the earth was flat, despite the ancient Greeks stating the planet was a sphere during the time of Pythagoras in the 6th century BCE. However, by 1492, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue, nobody worried that a ship at sea would fall over the planet's edge. So why do we think Columbus proved that the earth was round? Well, we have Washington Irving to thank for that. He published a fictionalized biography in 1828 about Columbus called The Life and Voyages of Christopher Columbus. In that biography, Irving says erroneously that his journey to the Americas proved that Earth was round. Turns out, he was wrong. We already knew the Earth was round long before Columbus did his thing. Well, another weekend is coming up fast, which means plans need to be made for it. But before we do that, two quick notes. One is a programming note, and the other is a correction. Let's start with the correction. Last week, we were talking about the history of fireworks, and we mentioned that the color blue is the hardest color to create. We also said that up until now, nobody has been able to figure out how to do it. Well, I was at a 4th of July fireworks display on Saturday night, and darned if they didn't have blue fireworks. So it can be done. Somebody figured out how to do it because there they were, clear as day, blue fireworks. So I stand corrected, and I apologize for getting that wrong. Now, on to the programming note. The weekend update is going to be going on a short hiatus for the remainder of the month of July. The reason is that I am moving. Not far, mind you, but it's still a move. And with the move, as you may well know, comes a lot of work. Work that won't leave me much time to work on Weekend Update. So for that reason, I have decided to take a short hiatus in order to focus my attention on the upcoming move. Have no fear, though. Weekend Update will be back in August with all new episodes, maybe even sooner. You never know. So keep attuned to the audio journal because you never know when we might be back. For now, we've got some weekend planning to do, so on with the show. Mechanics Hall has three events coming up in July, two of which are next week, so that is where we are going to start. Next week is the 2026 John Philip Sousa National High School Honor Band Concert. The John Philip National High School Honor Band has been in existence since 1980 and is open by application to all outstanding high school band students from throughout the United States. And those students will gather to perform on the Mechanics Hall stage next Wednesday, July 15th at 7 p.m. In commemoration of the 250th anniversary of the United States, a special ensemble will open the performance. The Concord Band of Concord, Massachusetts, under the direction of Mr. James Odell. Tickets for the concert are $27.21 for adults and $19.89 for students and seniors. Seating is general admission, which means you can sit anywhere you would like in the theater. To purchase, head to mechanicshall.org or call 508-752-0888. Coming up next Thursday, July 16th, is a Portraits, Gallery, and History of the Hall guided tour. This is a 90-minute guided tour of everything Mechanics Hall has to offer, including the Portraits Gallery. It starts at 10 a.m., Tickets for the tour are free if you are a member of Mechanics Hall. Otherwise, it's $10 for everybody else. To reserve your spot on the tour, you can head to mechanicshall.org or you can give them a phone call at 508-752-0888. Coming up at the end of the month, July 31st, is a Club 321 concert featuring Robbie Pate. Born and raised in Baltimore and now based in New York City, Robbie is a vocalist and piano player who plays a blend of jazz, R&B, soul, and contemporary music. This concert is a celebration of the release of his debut album called Let's Fall in Love, which is being released the very next day, July 31st. And that means his concert is on Thursday, July 30th. Starts at 7 p.m. The doors will open at 6:15. Tickets are $30 across the board. Makes no difference where you choose to sit in the theater. If you are a member of Mechanics Hall, you have a 10% discount waiting for you. Discounted tickets are also available through the Card to Culture program. If you are a member, make sure you use the promo code CARD2, that's the number 2, not spelled out, CARD2CULTURE321. CARD2CULTURE321 when checking out online, or you can also let the folks in the box office know when you call them. Free tickets are available through VetTix as well. To obtain those free tickets, you will need to contact VetTix directly at vettix.org. vettix.org. For all other ticketing inquiries, you can head to mechanicshall.org or you can always call the box office at 508-752-0888. Turning next to the Hanover Theater for the Performing Arts and the Hanover Conservatory Youth Summer Program Session Number 1, and they are presenting the Prom School Edition. Four eccentric Broadway stars are in desperate need of a new stage. So when they hear that trouble is brewing around a small town prom, they know that it's time to put a spotlight on the issue and themselves. The town's parents want to keep the high school dance on the straight and narrow, but when one student just wants to bring her girlfriend to the prom, the entire town has a date with destiny. On a mission to make a difference, the Broadway stars team up with a courageous student, leading to a transformation that brings everyone together in the name of love and acceptance. I had an opportunity to see the prom at my local theater a couple of years ago, and I absolutely loved it. It's one of my favorite shows that I've seen at that theater. And I'll admit that the title, The Prom, it's a little bit misleading. Yes, there is a prom that takes place within the musical, but it's about so much more than a prom. It's really a wonderful, wonderful production. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you cry. It's really got all the emotions in there that you could possibly want from a production. So definitely go out and see The Prom. I would highly recommend it. You've got three opportunities. You've got Friday, July 24th at 7 p.m., Saturday, July 25th at 2 p.m., and again at 7 p.m. Tickets are $25 across the board. Makes no difference where you choose to sit. Seating is general admission, so feel free to sit wherever you would like. Just make sure there's nobody in that seat before you sit down. That would be a little bit awkward. The show runs 2 hours and 30 minutes in length, and there is one intermission. Session number 2 of the Youth Summer Program, they're also doing The Prom, but they're not doing it until August. So we'll talk more about that when the time comes. For now, to purchase your tickets to session number 1, head on over to thehanovertheater.org, or you can always call the box office at 877-571-7469. Coming up at the end of the month is a concert called Raja 50, Elijah Raja Live in Concert. This concert honors 5 decades of one of the most prolific and beloved composers in world music. Only a select few cities and venues were chosen for this concert, with Worcester and the Hanover Theater being one of them. This concert is Friday, July 31st at 8 p.m. Tickets range in price from $86 all the way up to $1,026, depending on where you choose to sit in the theater. This is a very long concert. It runs 3 hours and 30 minutes, and they did not mention any intermission whatsoever in this concert. So please stop by the Comfort Station on your way into the theater. To purchase tickets, head on over to thehanovertheater.org or call 877-571-7469. Coming up on the first weekend in August is Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. Spend an unforgettable evening with Herb Alpert and his brand new Tijuana Brass, featuring 6 exceptional musicians and all the classic Tijuana Brass hits just as you remember them, all in celebration of the 60th anniversary of the iconic album Whipped Cream and Other Delights. That's one of my favorite Herb Alpert albums. It's legendary. Herb will share stories and answer audience questions about his extraordinary career. He will also have a giant video screen where he will show hundreds of classic photos, videos, artwork, and memorabilia from throughout his career. Herb and his Tijuana Brass will be on stage on Sunday, August 2nd at 7:30 p.m. The show runs approximately 90 minutes with no mention of intermission, so a visit to the Happy Room is definitely in order before you head into the theater. Tickets are $77 and $87 depending on where you choose to sit in the theater. As usual, you've got your 2 options. You can head on over to thehanovertheater.org, or you can call the box office at 877-571-7469. Turning next to the Brick Box Theater, they've got a variety of programs coming up as well. The Worcester Youth Speak Honestly Project presents WYSH-TV. This show is made up of a variety of performances that embody the pressing issues currently impacting Worcester youth, all based on classic TV genres. A sitcom set in a crumbling Worcester High School. A family drama following a girl who must choose between her dream of becoming an artist and the need to provide for her working-class family. A horror following a string of disappearances of the most vulnerable populations in Worcester. Satirical breaking news segments, parody infomercials, and even an over-the-top telenovela set at a high school prom. These are just some of the performances you can expect from this show. And they are performing it 3 times, Friday, July 10th at 7 p.m., and Saturday, July 11th at 2 p.m., and again at 7 p.m. The show runs approximately 80 minutes. There's also a 20-minute talkback following the show, so make sure you stick around for that. This is a free show, open to anyone who would like to attend. That said, they kindly ask that you RSVP if you are planning on attending. Again, it is free. It will cost you nothing. To RSVP for this show, you can head to thehanovertheater.org or call 877-571-7469. The Hanover Theater Conservatory Preteen Youth Summer Program Session Number 1 presents Frozen Junior. This is the story of Princesses Anna and Elsa, who, when faced with danger, discover their hidden potential and the powerful bond of sisterhood. Frozen Junior runs 1 hour with no intermission, so even though it's short, it wouldn't hurt to stop by the Happy Room on your way into the theater. They will be performing Frozen Junior 3 times, Friday, July 17th at 4 p.m., Saturday, July 18th at 2 p.m., and again at 6 p.m. Tickets are $18 across the board, with seating being general admission, so feel free to sit wherever you would like when you get to the theater. To purchase, head on over to thehanovertheater.org or call 877-571-7469. Session number 2 of the preteen summer program is also doing Frozen Junior, and they will be in performance on Friday, July 31st at 4 p.m., and Saturday, August 1st at 2 p.m., and again at 6 p.m. And tickets are the same price for either session, $18. And you've got your usual two options to purchase those, thehanovertheater.org, or you can call 877-571-7469. Coming up on July 22nd at the Brick Box Theater is Slap Dragon. Slap Dragon is the brainchild of bassist Scott Mulvihill and vocalist Laura Behrens, who met and began writing songs together in the summer of 2023. Soul vocals and acoustic instruments combined for a fresh, funky, irresistibly joyful sound that is equal parts bluegrass, disco, and R&B. Slapdragon will be performing Wednesday, July 22nd at 7:30. Tickets are $37 across the board, and seating is general admission. To purchase, head on over to thehanovertheater.org or call 877-571-7469. And lastly from the Brick Box Theater is Big Richard. Big Richard delivers ferocious, unapologetic music with big energy and serious chops. Their live shows are raucous, emotional, and irreverent, mixing ripping instrumentals, dark humor, and raw, socially charged songs. Bold, provocative, and fiercely entertaining, Big Richard is pushing bluegrass into the 21st century, delivering a show that's equal parts virtuosic, thought-provoking, and wildly fun. Big Richard will be performing Friday, July 24th at 7:30 p.m. Seating is general admission. That said, there are 2 levels of general admission seating for this particular concert. Regular general admission tickets are $37, and premium general admission tickets are $47. Now, they didn't specify the difference between the two, but if I had to guess, and this is just a wild guess on my part, I would say the premium seats are probably closer to the stage. And again, that's just a guess. To purchase either of these 2 options, head to thehanovertheater.org or call 877-571-7469. Turning next to the Calliope Theater out in Boylston, they're doing a show called Pom Pom Zombies, a summer teen musical. It's the 1960s. School's out for the summer, and the teenagers of Ocean View High are ready to surf, sun, and have some fun. Their favorite hangout is Barnacle Betty's Beach Club, which happens to be right next door to the evil Ivana Ratnick's nuclear power plant. Cindy Sue, the head cheerleader, accidentally gets some nuclear slime on her hot dog instead of pickle relish, and soon the beach is overrun with pom-pom-wielding zombies. Her all-American boyfriend, the Beatniks, the Nerds, and the tough girl gang named the Barracudas rally their forces to save the beach from the atomic attackers. Pom Pom Zombies will be performed on Wednesday, July 15th at 7:30, Thursday, July 16th at 7:30, Friday, July 17th at 7:30, and Saturday, July 18th at 2 p.m. and again at 7:30. Tickets are $20 for regular admission and $17 for students and seniors. To purchase, head to www.calliopeproductions.org or call 508-869-6887. Coming up at the end of July, beginning of August, is James and the Giant Peach Jr. This is a summer preteen musical. It is being performed on Wednesday, July 29th at 7 p.m., Thursday, July 30th at 7 p.m., Friday, July 31st at 7 p.m., and one final performance on Saturday, August 1st at 2 p.m. Tickets are $10 across the board. Makes absolutely no difference where you choose to sit. To purchase, you can head to www.calliopeproductions.org, or you can give the box office a phone call at 508-869-6887. 508-869-6887. Turning next to the Gateway Players out in Southbridge for Jimmy Buffett's Escape to Margaritaville. I also had the opportunity to see this one at my local theater, the same theater that did The Prom, also did Escape to Margaritaville, and this one was a lot of fun. It takes place on a small island in the Caribbean with vacation goers and the laid-back staff of the Margaritaville bar flirting, unwinding, and sipping drinks under the sun. Tammy and her friend Rachel, a geologist who is only tagging along so she can study the volcano on the island, arrive at the bar and hotel for a much-needed vacation, at least for Tammy. Tammy is scheduled to get married as soon as she gets back from a vacation, but she wanted to go and blow off a little steam before she does that. Rachel, as we said, is not interested in going on vacation. She is more interested in the volcano, and that's what she turns her attention to. She soon finds herself in love with the island bartender and musician Tully. As their romance blossoms, so too does the volcano, which erupts, throwing the vacation and the romance into complete chaos. Does everybody make it off the island in time? Well, you'll just have to go to find out. You're going to have a lot of fun if you go. This has all your favorite Jimmy Buffett music in it, and it's got an island setting to boot. You have a variety of options for going to see this show. It is Friday, July 31st and Saturday, August 1st, both nights at 7:30. And one last opportunity on Sunday, August 2nd at 2 p.m. Tickets are $20 for adults and $18 for seniors and youth under 18. To purchase, head to gatewayplayers.org, or you can call 508-764-4531. Performances of Margaritaville are being held in the Southbridge Middle High School Auditorium at 132 Torrey Road in Southbridge. Next on the list is Square One Players out in Shrewsbury. They are doing Forbidden Broadway's Greatest Hits. This world-renowned review hilariously skewers Broadway's biggest hits and brightest stars, from Chicago to Phantom of the Opera to Fiddler on the Roof, and everything in between and everything beyond. With razor-sharp wit, spot-on impressions, and show-stopping musical numbers, Forbidden Broadway delivers a non-stop night of laughter and nostalgia. This one opens on Saturday, August 1st at 7:30, continues on Sunday, August 2nd at 2 p.m., continues from there on Saturday, August the 8th at 7:30, and finishes on Sunday, August the 9th at 2 p.m. Tickets are $18 for general admission and $15 for students and seniors. To reserve your tickets, head to www.squareoneplayers.com, www.squareoneplayers.com, or you can call 508-669-7750. Now, you'll only be reserving your tickets at this time. They do not accept payment online. You'll pay for them when you get to the theater and pick them up. Again, the phone number for Square One Players is 508-669-7750. Performances are held in the Flanagan Theater in Southgate at 30 Julio Drive in Shrewsbury. Turning next to the town of Boylston and the New England Botanic Garden up at Tower Hill for a couple of plant shows, and both of them have to do with lilies. The first is the New England Daylily Society Show and Sale. Daylilies, true to their name, are known for explosive, short-lived displays. While they add pops of color to New England gardens around mid-July, each individual bloom only lasts for about 24 hours. That's one thing that makes the New England Daylily Society show and sale so exciting. Up until the morning of the show, society members don't know which flowers they'll be bringing. Every year, hybridizers introduce the latest and greatest of new cultivars, adding to the more than 88,000 already registered varieties. That means no matter what blooms in the morning, garden visitors can count on finding an extraordinary array of daylilies that highlight a wide variety of size, forms, colors, and patterns. Come see the show and vote for your favorite flowers. Sales tables will be open, and expert growers will be there to answer all of your daylily questions. This is a one-day-only show. It is on Saturday, July 11th. The sale is from 11 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. They accept cash, check, or Venmo only. Those three things only. No debit cards, no credit cards. Cash, check, or Venmo. The show itself is from 1:30 until 3:30. There is a lecture called Daylilies 101. It is 1 hour long and is from 11 a.m. until 12 noon. There is also a demonstration on dividing a daylily and a raffle as well. Both of those are from 12:30 until 1 p.m. on July 11th. Coming up on July 18th is the New England Lily Society show and sale. The New England Lily Society's annual show exhibits a wide variety of lilies grown in New England, as well as beautiful flower arrangements featuring lilies. Since 1960, the Society has presented an annual show to the community. Don't miss this year's colorful, show-stopping blooms and opportunities to talk with lily enthusiasts who have a wealth of knowledge about growing and propagating these beautiful plants. As we said, this show is Saturday, July 18th. This is a one-day-only show as well, Saturday, July 18th. The show and the sale are both from 11 a.m. until 3:30. As with the Daylily show, they accept cash, check, or Venmo only. There is a walking tour of the Lily Show where you'll learn about the criteria for judging, and that is from 12 p.m. until 12:30. Then at 2 o'clock, there is a lecture called Daylilies versus True Lilies, What's the Difference? That's a one-hour lecture that starts at 2 o'clock and ends at 3 o'clock. All plant shows and sales at the garden are included in your general admission tickets. You can purchase those ahead of time if you'd like at nebg.org, nebg.org. Or you can also call 508-869-6111, 508-869-6111. You can also wait until you get there and purchase your tickets then. There really is no need to purchase them ahead of time, although if that's the way you want to go about it, you are more than welcome to do that as well. Tower Hill is located at 11 French Drive in Boylston, and their telephone once again, their telephone number that is once again is 508-869-6111. We have a couple more 4th of July fireworks displays coming up other than what you would expect after your Bravehearts and WooSox games. We'll be talking about those in just a moment, so hold on to that thought. For now, turning to Saturday, July 11th, there are two fireworks displays. There's one out in East Brookfield. That one is scheduled to start at 9 p.m. at Connie Mack Field at 122 Connie Mack Drive. And the other one on Saturday, July 11th is my favorite. It's in Clinton. The fireworks there start at 9:15 p.m. at the Veterans Memorial Athletic Fields at the Clinton Middle High School on Route 110 in Clinton. It's actually on the other side of the street from the high school. Now, you can park in the high school parking lot or along Route 110. If you do park along Route 10, couple of pointers. First, make sure you watch out for poison ivy. It does like to grow in abundance along Route 110. Also, make sure you bring a flashlight with you, as Route 110 is not a well-lit road. The police usually set up a light on a pole right on the corner of South Meadow Road and 110. That's just to help people cross the street safely there. Otherwise, 110 is not a well-lit road, so definitely bring a flashlight with you. Now, they ask that you not park at the cemetery or in front of the cemetery gate. That is not allowed. The police will shoo you away if you try to do that. They also ask that you not park in the neighborhoods off of South Meadow Road. You can park along South Meadow Road, just not on the side streets that branch off of South Meadow Road. Those are residential neighborhoods, and they like to keep those as traffic-free as they possibly can. If you go, make sure you bring along a sweater or a light jacket, as it can get a little chilly on the field, sometimes even a little damp. Also, make sure you bring some bug spray with you. The bugs are vicious. I tell you this from experience. Make sure you bring a lawn chair or a blanket as well to sit on for the fireworks display. Make sure you have someplace comfortable to sit. Again, the Clinton fireworks are on Saturday, July 11th at 9:15 p.m. As we mentioned, all of the other fireworks displays in the area are after WooSox and Bravehearts baseball games. There is also a fireworks display coming up at Old Sturbridge Village, but that is not until the middle of August. So we'll tell you more about that then, when we come back from our hiatus. Now, as we mentioned, there are some baseball games coming up. Before we talk about those, two things coming up at Polar Park. One is on Sunday, July 19th from 12 noon until 4 p.m. This is the Worcester Vintage Market. General admission entry to the market is completely free. However, if you would like to get in an hour earlier at 11 a.m., you can do that, but you'll need to purchase an early bird ticket for $5. Otherwise, you can wait until noon and get in for free. To purchase that early bird ticket, head to www.polarpark.com. The Tri-City Chili Peppers are bringing glow-in-the-dark baseball to Polar Park on Thursday, July 30th, Friday, July 31st, and Saturday, August 1st. In order to get a ticket to any of these games, you will need to enter a lottery at www.polarpark.com. There are different lotteries depending on where you would like to sit. So we'll start with the general admission bowl seats. These cost $35 per ticket, and they are in the main seating bowl sections 1 through 16, and also the Worcester Wall in the right field. DCU club seats cost $55 per ticket. These seats are located on the third floor and include indoor access and access to the DCU club bar. You could choose to sit on the Hanover deck in a 4 or 6 person high-top table. That costs $71.75 per ticket. These seats are located on the Hanover deck, and they do include the 2-hour buffet. Seats are in groups of 4 or 6, and they are at a high-top table. You can also choose to sit at the Hanover drink rail. These cost $71.75 per ticket. These seats are also located on the Hanover deck, but they are along the drink rail, and they also come with that 2-hour buffet. You could choose to sit in the triple-decker garden. These cost $66.26 per ticket. These seats are located on the third level of the right field. They are made up of an assortment of tables and high tops, and they also include that 2-hour buffet. You could choose to sit in the or behind the Shaw's visiting bullpen for $71.75 per ticket. These seats are an assortment of tables and high tops located on the concourse level third base side, and they do come with that 2-hour buffet as well. You can also choose to sit at the Shaw's home bullpen for $71.75. These are the same as the visiting bullpen tickets, except that they are located on the first base side, and they also come with that 2-hour buffet. And lastly, you could go all out and sit in a suite. This costs $125 per ticket. These tickets include a climate-controlled private suite, a $25 food and beverage credit per person, a dedicated suite attendant, and access to the DCU Club. All of these lotteries are for Friday and Saturday games only. I believe that Thursday is already sold out. I could be wrong, but my understanding from the way they had it set up is that Thursday is no longer available, but Friday and Saturday are. To enter any of these lotteries now, you can head on over to www.polarpark.com. www.polarpark.com. All right, now it's time to talk about your WooSox. They are in action this Friday, July 10th, versus the visiting Rochester Red Wings. First pitch is scheduled for 6:45 p.m. They will be back in action on Saturday, July 11th, versus the same Rochester Red Wings at 4:05 p.m. And then they have a matinee game on Sunday afternoon, July the 12th, versus the same Rochester Red Wings at 1:05 p.m. After that series is the All-Star break. The All-Star game is taking place this year in Philadelphia from July 13th to the 16th. After that, your WooSox have three games on the road in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre from July 17th through July 19th. They have a day off on Monday, July 20th. They will be back home in action at Polar Park on Tuesday, July 21st versus the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. First pitch is scheduled for 6:45 p.m. They'll be taking on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp once again on Wednesday, July 22nd at 6:45 p.m. Thursday, the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp will be back in town. That's July 23rd. First pitch is scheduled for 12:05 p.m. Then on Friday night, July 24th, versus the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp at 6:45 p.m. Saturday, July 25th, versus the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp at 4:05 p.m. And they'll round out their series with the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp with a matinee game on Sunday, July 26th. First pitch on Sunday is scheduled for 1:05 p.m. After this, they've got six games on the road in Norfolk, Virginia from July 28th through August 2nd. And then they will be back home versus Lehigh Valley on Tuesday, August 4th. First pitch then is scheduled for 6:45 p.m. To purchase tickets for any WooSox home game, you've got your usual options. You can head to www.milb.com/Worcester. www.polarpark.com. You can visit the box office in person if you happen to be in the neighborhood, and that neighborhood is 100 Madison Street. Or you can also give the box office a good old-fashioned ringy-dingy at 508-500-1000. That's 508-500-1000. Your Worcester Bravehearts are also in action. They will be taking on the visiting Norwich Sea Unicorns this Friday, July 10th at 6:30 p.m. They will be down in New Britain, Connecticut, taking on the New Britain Bees on Saturday, July 11th at 6:35 p.m. They'll be back home on Monday. They do have a day off on Sunday, but they'll be back home on Monday, taking on the visiting Westfield Starfires. That's July 13th at 6:30 p.m. They will take a trip up to Nashua to take on the Silver Knights on Tuesday, July 14th at 6:30 p.m. And they'll stay in the Granite State until Wednesday, July 15th, when they have a game against the Nashua Silver Knights. First pitch is scheduled for 6:03 p.m. They will come back to Worcester on Thursday with the Nashua Silver Knights for a game on July 16th. That's Thursday at 6:30 p.m. The very next day, July 17th, shows the Worcester Bravehearts on the road in New Britain once again, taking on the New Britain Bees at 6:35 p.m. The Norwich Sea Unicorns is the next stop for the Bravehearts on Saturday, July 18th. First pitch is scheduled for 6:30 p.m. They will be home once again on July 19th, taking on the visiting New Britain Bees on Sunday, July 19th. First pitch, 4 p.m. After this, they've got a break. It's the All-Star break, which lasts from, or which goes, I should say, from July 20th through July 22nd. This year, it'll be at the historic Holman Field in Nashua, New Hampshire. After that, your Worcester Brave Hearts will be taking on the visiting Vermont Lake Monsters on Thursday, July 23rd at 10:30 a.m., Friday, July 24th at 6:30 p.m., and Sunday, July 25th also at 6:30 p.m. Your Brave Hearts then have a home game against the visiting Nashua Silver Knights on Sunday, July 26th at 4 p.m., they'll head north to Lowell to take on the Spinners on Monday, July 27th at 7 p.m. They will be home against the New Britain Bees on Tuesday, July 28th at 6:30 p.m. They'll be home on Thursday, July 30th against the visiting Westfield Starfires at 6:30 p.m. And they will round out their spate of July games with a road trip to the Norwich Sea Unicorns on Friday, July 31st. First pitch is scheduled for 6:30 p.m. After this, there are just six more games in the regular season. I told you it was going by fast. I said it. Six more games in the regular season, four on the road and two at home. And then it's on to the playoffs. As of right now, your Worcester Bravehearts sit in third place with a record of 19 wins and 15 losses. The top four teams in the league at the end of the regular season make it to the Futures League playoffs. That means that if the season were to end today, your Worcester Bravehearts would find themselves in the playoffs. Hopefully they can keep it up during this last stretch of games and extend baseball season just a little bit longer here in Worcester. I don't think anybody would mind that. To purchase tickets to any Worcester Bravehearts home game, you've got two options. You can head to www.WorcesterBraveheartsStore.com or you can call 508-438-3773. 508-438-3773. Well, there's that familiar tune again, and you know what that means. It means that our time together has come to an end. As a friendly reminder, Weekend Update is going on a short hiatus for the remainder of the month of July. We will be back in August with all new episodes, so make sure to join me then. For now, thanks for hanging out with me for the past hour. It is always appreciated and always a pleasure. Have a great rest of your day and get out and do something fun. Head to a concert or a show, take a tour of Mechanics Hall, peruse the lilies and daylilies up at Tower Hill, and perhaps treat yourself to one. Cheer on your Bravehearts and Blue Sox. Glow in the dark at a cosmic baseball game or take in one last 4th of July fireworks display. Until next time, keep your volume up, your spirits higher, and remember, a hiatus is just a fancy word for see you soon. I plan on doing just that in just a few short weeks in August, and I hope you will do the same. Take care, and I'll see you soon for another episode of Weekend Update. Weekend Update has been a production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Programming is funded in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or in Braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or you can always go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, your iPad, or your Android device. If you know of an upcoming event or you have a question or a suggestion or a comment about anything you've heard here, you can always reach me at weekendupdate@yahoo.com. That's weekendupdate@yahoo.com. My name is Adam. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day, and join me again in August for another edition of Weekend Update.
Audio Journal is supported in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. We are a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
What's your vision?
People with disabilities adapt on a daily basis.
They're people you want on your team. And we're here to help you find blind and visually impaired professionals to help you reach your organizational goals. Building an inclusive workforce where individuals with disabilities are welcome is possible thanks to Mass Commission for the Blind. Partner with them to hire individuals who are blind or visually impaired and reach your workforce goals. The success of your organization depends on the diversity of your team. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB to learn how you can become an employer partner for the blindness community. That's 1-800-392-6450 or mass.gov/MCB. What's your vision?